Cool. So, welcome to day two of ASPConf. My name is Shay Friedman. I am a co-founder in a company named Code Value. I'm also a Microsoft MVP for C Sharp and the author of Iron Ruby Unleashed, which is the greatest book ever written. I know it's hard to believe, but it is. You must go buy it right now. I know. Yes. Anyway, if you want to contact me, my Twitter handle is IronRoche. I promise to get back to you. So what is this conference is this session is going to be about? This session is about tips, tricks, and hidden gems that I just found out while I was working on ASP.NET MVC applications. It's nothing out of the ordinary, just something that I found very useful, and hopefully you will too, because in general, I believe that once you go and use a framework, you should go all the way and use everything this framework allows you to do, and not just following around and just trying to understand what to do. Just go deep into the framework and understand what it has, and if it has like little sweet little things that can save you like a few seconds a day or even a few minutes a day, then it's a win-win situation. So hopefully I can just tell you something that you didn't know today. I have something about 15 tips and tricks. Hopefully we'll go through all of them, and if not, I'll just upload the slides at the end, and maybe I'll do a blog post series about it. We'll see. Okay, so let's just start right away with the first tip. And by the way, all the tips here, I didn't know if there were tips, or hidden gems, so they will be called TTHGs. And the first one is very simple one, and maybe the most important one, and it is use NuGet. And if you do not know what NuGet is, NuGet is just a packet management for .NET, and it has a lot of third-party or Microsoft's packages or code libraries that can make your everyday work much, much easier. Because if you think you're now writing something which is like, and you are sure someone has done this before, then I can probably assure you that someone has already done this before. So a lot of people, what they do, they just write a package, upload that to NuGet, and then you can just go grab that and use it. Okay? And it saves tons of time. So if you're not using it, start using it. If you are using it, use it more. Use it again and use it again and use it again. Okay? And use it all the time. Okay? Just use it again and again and again. It's just an amazing tool, and I'm gonna show you throughout this session some packages that work well on ASP.NET MVC, but NuGet and NuGet packages are all around .NET. Just go to the website called NuGet.org and explore the library. You will be amazed by the amount of things you have there, by the quality of things that you have there, and by the amount of time you will save by using it. So if something you need to know from this session, just remember to use NuGet. There are a lot of things, but just please remember it and use NuGet and use it all the time. Okay, so I think I said enough about NuGet. So we can move on and talk about the second TTHG, which is work with model validation. Now, let's just move to the code. So I'll close that and move here. I'm going to show all of my demos on Visual Studio 2012, but everything should work just fine on Visual Studio 2010 with ASP.NET MVC 3 or 4. They all work on both both platforms, so don't be afraid by that. Okay, so let's just before I dive into what I mean about model validation, let's just create something, okay? And I'm going to create a very simple model, okay? My solution now is just a plain solution. I just started up Visual Studio, created a new project, a new ASP.NET MVC project, and chose the Internet Application project. That's it. So now I want to add a model. And in order to do that, I'm going to add a class because I'm going to use Entity Framework code first for that. You can use whatever ORM or whatever data access technique that you like. I'm just going to use that. And I'm going to create my model class, or some would call it my domain entity or something like that. And let's call it a dog. Okay, we'll have a dog in our system. And this is our dog, right? And the dog would have an ID, right? And it would also have a name. And dogs today are very, very advanced, so they'll have emails as well, right? And I think that would be enough for now. Now, let's create all the CRUD operations for that, right? CRUD is create, read, update, and delete. And I just want to have everything created for me, all the forms for creation and updating and deleting dogs from my system. I want to view my dogs. So everything would go and be created automatically by ASP.NET MVC scaffolders. So let's just do that. I'll build that first. Let's go to controllers, add controller. Okay, now this is just a dialogue, and I'll just put everything here. Don't want to keep talking about this particular thing. So let's call it dogs controller. Sounds good. The model would be lots of things here. The model would be dog, right? And the data context would be let's create a new one. So it would be clean context is sound good, but let's call it ASP.conf demo context. That would be good, and we'll click add. And now let's just go back here while this is being created. And model validation is something that I really like about ASP.NET MVC because it is so transparent and so easy to use, and so I don't see why not. Now, I actually been to a customer of mine, and I saw that he was creating the entire model validation idea from scratch, rewriting everything. He had like validation attributes and validation results, and really he didn't see, he hadn't seen all the how MVC was doing that, but he just thought of a very good idea how to do validation. So he kind of reinvented the wheel, and really just the entire thing he just rewrote. And I told him, why did you do that? And he said, well, I wasn't sure what MVC was capable of, and I didn't really want to I didn't trust Microsoft enough for keeping doing that, so I would do it myself. And this is wrong, in my opinion, right? Because Once you, I said it before, once you use a framework, whatever framework it is, if you're using it already, just use it the most that you can. Learn it and learn it, and read books about it, and read documentation, and watch videos, and then use it because it's there for you. And if you're using the framework already, do not reinvent what they already invented for this framework. And model validation is just that. It just works. It works out of the box and it works perfectly. So if you need to customize that, just work with that and customize that. But if you if everything that is built in works for you, that's even better. But do not reinvent the wheel. It doesn't make any sense. And it just takes more time, more bugs, and just more frustration at the end. So it doesn't worth it. Okay, so let's go back here and I'll just show you that. So we're everything was created for us, and now I can go. You can see that the controller is here. All the creation, all the edit, everything works, and everything works with the database. So what's missing here now are validation rules. Validation rules are very easy to do, and probably all of you have already done that. And it's just by adding an attribute, right? You're going to your model class and you're adding attributes. So for example, you can add required. And required makes a lot of sense. Now it's just required. People would not be able to create a new dog if they didn't put a name, right? And an email would be required as well because it makes sense. And let's just build that. And you have multiple different validation attributes like that, like string length and range and compare and remote. Just look into that. Just read about it, and that most of the built-in stuff are sufficient for a lot of cases. Now, let's run that and see how that looks like. Let's do that, and we'll wait for a second. And what we did now, I just added a few attributes on top of my model, right? And what happened is that now it goes through all throughout the MVC framework, and all the validation rules are would just work also on the client side and on the server side. Oh, one second, let me just do that. So, well, mute all except me. That would sound good. Okay. So let's go back here. So this is my opening page. Let's go to dogs because this is our main page for the dogs viewing. And you see, this is what the scaffolder has done. So I can create a new one, a new dog. And now if I click create here, I immediately get a response that the required fields are missing. So this just works out of the box, and I didn't need to do anything except from using model validation. So this is what I mean by use model validation. Do not reinvent the wheel, and just use it where you can because it just makes a lot of sense. Now, sometimes you need more than the validations that come with ASP.NET MVC. For example, email, right? How many of you have had needed to create a validation for an email address? If you had, just raise your hand. I will see that at some point. So I know I'm raising my hand very high because I've done that so many times. And I'm sure that if you've tried to do that once, you probably went to some to Google or Bing or what or some search engine and search for an email regular expression, right? And then you found out there are like a gazillion different regular expressions about emails, right? So what we do now, we can just go and look for that again, but I have a better approach. And remember I told you about NuGet? I'm gonna use a NuGet package, and this NuGet package is called Data Annotations Extensions. Now I've already installed that on this project because I didn't want to spend time on that. But what you do, you have a different approaches for how you do that. They all work the same. You can go to what's called the Package Manager console and install that from here. I'll show you that now, and I'll show you the UI just later in the session. So I want to install a package, and the package is called Data Annotations Extensions. Yes, just one. Okay, .mvc free. Now you can hit enter. I already did that, so I don't need to, but just once you hit enter, it will be installed. So I installed that, and now I can go back here and add email. Okay, and you see it's Data Annotations Extension. This is the namespace, and let's build that. And now let's go back here and reload my create page. Okay. Now again, now we're just using model validation. We're just extending the and customize the built-in validations. So, okay. Now you see it looks a bit different. Now let's just put something here and put something there. Now let's create. You see that? It says please enter an email address. Now that's actually not from MVC. If we just look at the source for a second and find this email, you can see, okay, here it is. This is the input for the email, and you can see the type is email. And this happens because this is actually an HTML5 new form elements, and it knows how to validate an email. And if your browser doesn't support that, it will just go back and use jQuery validate the jQuery validate plugin in order to do the email validations. So you see a lot of things are done for you behind the scenes, and all of that just because you use model validations. So I think this is cool, right? Just put one line here and everything is done for you. Hopefully everything would be like that and we'll be good, right? Okay, moving on. By the way, regarding questions, I will have questions at the end. Also, I don't know if you're here, but maybe on the Jabber chat. Okay, so just keep your questions to the end, and hopefully I will answer all of them throughout the session. Okay, so moving to number 3, and this one is about view models. Now, all of you probably know MVC. You are all MVC developers, and MVC is Model View Controller, right? And there's nothing there that says View Models, right? So what I'm saying is, I think everyone should use another layer, which lies just between the controller and the view, and it will be called the View Model. And it has several different advantages. And for example, Think about our dog domain model. This dog class is a domain entity. We might not have permissions to add stuff to that, add our attributes on that, or maybe we do not want to. Maybe it comes from a different DLL. Maybe, I don't know, some other team uses it and creates it and maintains it. And we cannot change it. So then it becomes kind of a problem to use what I showed you about model validations, right? So view models will solve that right away. Because you will just use another class which is just like the model, but it has everything that the view needs. And it will have only what the view needs. Because if you have some stuff on the domain model that you don't need the view to have, then you won't have it in your view model. And then you have full control over it, because it's just part of your MVC application. It's not a part of the domain model. So you can also add logics to that that you had in the past been doing in the view. So you can just take away logics from the view and add it to the view model. And then you can unit test the view model, and it would be much easier to test a class in compared to testing a view, right? So let me show you what I mean. So let's go back here to our dogs application. And now I have this dog class, right? And this is cool, but I want to have, for example, let's go back to the actual site and let's create a dog. Let's call it Candy, right? This is the names of dogs today, right? So candy@dogland.com would be a good email for a dog. And let's create it. And now it's being created, it's stored in a database, and that's it. I'm done. And there is this details here, right? And let's say that I want to have some kind of I don't know, for some emails I would like to make them bold, right? If it's coming from Dogland, I would want the email to be bold. So how would I do that? I can go straight to the view and add an if, and that would work, right? But then I would have a problem, and it would be much more complex to unit test that. So I'm going to add a view model for the details view. So let's do that. Once you do view models, just create a new folder on your application, call it view models. Okay, so let's do that. View models. And let's create a class, because view model is just a class. And let's call it dog details view model. And create it. And now I can add all the stuff that I need. For example, I probably do not need the ID here, so I'm not gonna put the ID here. So I just need the name. And I need also the email, right? And now I'm gonna also add, let's instead of a bold, maybe let's put color. Okay, it would just be better for the demonstration. So let's just string email color, okay, and get, and I'm gonna add my logics here. So let's do if email contains what's called dogland.com, then return, I don't know. Let's do green. And otherwise return black. Okay, this is my email caller. And now let's go to the docs controller, because now I need, instead of returning a view, a model to the details view, I will need to return a docs details view model. So I'm going to the controller and I'm going to the details. Where is it? Details to the details action. Okay. So instead of dog, I'm going to create a view model here. I'm going to add a few lines. Let's create dog view model, and it will be new dog details view model, right? Let's add that. And now it will have a name of dog.name, because this is what we got from the database. It will have an email, which is dog.email. Okay? And I'm gonna send this view model to the view instead of my domain model. So let's do dog view model. This is what I'm gonna return to the view. And now let's go to the view and change it accordingly. So going back to the view of details, this is how it looks like right now. So what I'm gonna need to do here, I'm gonna need to change the first line, which has the type of the view. So it's gonna be dog view model, dog details view model. And okay. And now I have this display form model email, which is great. And I want to add the color, right? So I used to have a condition here in order to do different colors to this email, right? But now I need to have I don't need that anymore, right? Because I have the logics in my view model. So I'll just remove that for a second. Let's just do something like that. Let's do I don't know, span style equals font color. Okay, and this would have the model dot email color, right? Very simple. Then model dot email, and I'm kind of done. Okay, so I just added a new layer between the view and the model, moved all of my logics from the view to this view model, and also put only what I needed in this view model, because I didn't need the ID, so I'm not even gonna send it to this view. Okay, so I built that. Let's see how that looks there, so you will believe me. I'm going to just reload this one and let's see that it works. Hopefully. Okay, so yeah, I did it didn't work well. Let's remove that. I don't want it here right now. If I needed it, then I would have to add the ID into the view. So, it's still black, so it didn't really work. Maybe I had some typo. That's what you need unit tests for, I guess. Well, return green. Maybe I had something wrong. Font color. Font color is not a real style sheet element. Yes. Okay. So yes, okay, cool. Now it's green. So we passed the first demo and it works. And this is a view model, and this is why it makes sense so much. Now I wanna show you something even farther about view models that view models actually just solve. I don't know if you've heard a few months ago, GitHub fell, crashed, or had some big security problem, and it was called the mass assignment vulnerability. And what it had, this is an application. It's another application. It's about users here, and let me show you the code. The code is very simple. It's out of the box, okay, but it creates a very big security problem. So you have this user class here, okay, and the user has a name and an address and also a boolean value which is named isAdmin. Okay, my controller is just a simple controller. It was scaffolded and by ASP.NET MVC, nothing really special, and I just this is how it looks like here. Okay, you see there is a one guy here called Che Friedman, as his address is Yo 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 Street, great street by the way, and he is an administrator. Okay, let's create a new one. Okay, let's call this new one hacker, and the address would be hacker@hacker.hack because this is where hackers live, right? Yeah, now look here, I don't have the isAdmin flag here. Okay, I don't need it here. I don't want users to be able to create that. Let's say that isAdmin would be some kind of a logic on my business logic layer that then it's decided if the user is an admin or not. Okay, so I don't even allow the user to add to control this isAdmin flag. However, I do use the model here, so it's around here, but it's just not displayed. So let's create it. Now it's created, and you see that hacker is not an admin, right? Okay, so I'm gonna edit it now. And again, in the edit page, you cannot see the isAdmin flag because it's just not there. And I'm gonna, as a good hacker, I'm gonna just do something bad. And instead of going to this URL, I'm going to add something like isAdmin equals true. And I'm going to surf to that. So I'm going to click enter now, and it just reloads the page. You cannot see anything different, but it's now just using this URL, isAdmin equals true, right? And now I'm not even going to change anything. I'm just going to click save, okay? And watch what happens. I'm going to click save, and you can see here that now hacker is an admin. And that's not good. Now I'm probably thinking, oh no, what just happened, right? And this is just how MVC works, and it actually GitHub, it doesn't work on ASP.NET MVC. It works with Ruby on Rails, and Ruby on Rails is just the MVC framework of the Ruby language. So this security problem is kind of affected all of the MVC frameworks around there. So, and it works like that because of what's called model binding. ASP.NET MVC would go and try to create and fill up your objects with values from the request, right? And if we go and look in the controller, the edit one, which is called once the user clicks save, it retrieves a user object. So what MVC is doing, it's going to the request object and going through all the query string and all the form parameters. And then it says, okay, I have the name and the address from the form, great. But where is this isAdmin property? And it finds it on this query string, which is very bad. And then it's very simple to just manipulate this property just by going and adding this to the query string. So this is a big security problem. And in order to defend from that, you can actually defend from that in various different ways. In my opinion, the best one is by doing view models, just using view models. Just put whatever you need to expose in your view model. If you have this isAdmin Boolean value on your model and you're not exposing it to the user on the view or on anything else, then just don't have it inside your view model and you won't have any problem. Now, another way to work around that is it's kind of easier, but I think it just it's kind of frightening to work like that because you might forget something. But you can just go to the model class, add an attribute on top of that named bind, and then say exclude equals ID. Okay, this would not ID, sorry, isAdmin. This would take care of that, but it's okay. I don't like this so too much, and I do think that view models are much better approach. But you need to be aware of this security problem because it kind of affects most of the applications out there today written in MVC. Okay, this was number 3. Let's continue to number 4. And this is just a quick tip about unknown actions. And this is something a lot of people do not know. Might be cool. Going back to this to the dog demo, because we're done with the user demo. And I'm going to the controller, the dogs controller class. Okay. Now, the controller class, you can override a lot of things here. So if we do that, you can see that there's a lot of stuff you can override. Okay? You can change how things work, and it might be very good for special scenarios. One of the methods here that you can override is called handle unknown action. Now, maybe you work around this problem in various different approaches. This one is just a simple one, and it might fit you well. Let's say someone try to go into your dog's controller, but they misspelled the action name. So maybe instead of just showing them the 404 page, you can just redirect them to the index page. Okay, that might work. And you see, you get the action name from here, and you can do stuff with that. I don't know, log or try to understand where the user wanted to go and maybe do something. But that's it. And now, let's say we want to redirect to the index page. So we're just going to do redirect to action, right? Index. Now, something that is important here, you see it doesn't has a return value. Okay? So instead of returning a redirect to action, you will need to do redirect to action dot execute result and just pass it this dot controller context. This is just what you need to do here. The same thing. It will just redirect to the action. So just as a quick thing that you just know it's there, maybe it will be easier for you when you need something like that. Okay, so let's move on to number 5. And number 5 is about Razor helpers. Razor is awesome. It's, I think, one of the best inventions Microsoft has done in the last few years. Even a guy I know from the Rails community came and told me that he told me, I wish we had Razor in Ruby on Rails. And you know, they can crucify him for saying that. So just understand how good Razor is. And Razor has this thing called helpers, and they can help you. You could understand it from the name, of course, but they can help you reduce code repetition. Okay, if you write stuff in your code, in your views again and again, then you can just go and write a Razor helper to do that for you. Because up until Razor, with the ASPX view engine, you needed to write custom HTML helpers in C sharp, and it's a totally valid approach. But writing HTML in C sharp is not the best experience, and in Razor it just makes so much sense. So let's see how you do that. I'm going to a view. Let's just go to the index view. Now, let's say I have something like that. I have a phone style equals font size, and it would be 20 pixels. Okay, and it would be ASP.NET MVC rules. Yeah, that's good. Let's repeat that, and it would be 20 and 30 and 40. Okay, and let's just save that. Not font. What did I think? Span. Okay. Span is better. Span. Okay. Span here and span there. Okay. So we have this. Obviously, we repeat our view code here. And of course, it will just display this line again and again in different font sizes, right? Let's just put it here so we can see that, back to list, and we will just see that. Now, once because we have these lines repeated throughout our view, I don't want that. I want to maintain the dry principle, right? And the dry principle says do not repeat yourself. So I do not want to repeat myself. So in order to do that, I will just go ahead and create a helper. And in order to do that, you can put helpers everywhere inside your view, so I'm just putting it on the top of the page. So you start with an @ sign, because everything starts with an @ sign in Razor. And you do helper. This is how you start it. And then you give it a name. So let's write MVC rules. Okay. Now we can get parameters as well. So here we want to get the font size as a parameter, right? Let's do int font size. Okay, it has a type, it has everything. And that's it. And now we're writing Razor. And we can write code here. Probably you wouldn't want to write a lot of logics here, because again, you don't want a lot of logics inside your views. But if you have some kind of a small line that repeats itself, or something that repeats itself inside the view, that would be a good approach. Let's just copy that into here. Now, instead of font size, I want to use this font size parameter, so let's do font size. Now px, right? I need px here. Now you see the problem? MVC would look at that and say, oh, I don't know what font size size px is. I don't have this kind of variable. Now okay, so we can do that, right? But no, that's not good, because then the style sheet would go wrong. So in order to just solve that, just add parentheses. Okay, that would work. Okay, that's it. So now, instead of doing this three lines of code, of view code, I'm just going to call this new method that I have. Should be write MVC rules, and the first one would be 20, because 20 pixels. Second one would be 30, and then 40. And I'll just save that and go back here and reload, and it would just it should look the same, right? I didn't change anything, it just shouldn't crash. If it doesn't crash, I'm happy. Okay, so it did reload, and it looks the same, so it works. And you can see that I just wrote it once and then reuse it, so it works well for all for this kind of situations. Now, you can take Razor helpers even farther. And if you see that you have helpers that you can use on multiple views, you can put them in a centralized location and then use them throughout the application. But what you need to do to know is where to put them. So in order to do that, you go and create a new folder, and the folder is called app_code. If you have ever done websites in ASP.NET, ASP.NET websites, not web applications, you probably know this app code folder. And this is its magnificent return, because this is where you put your centralized Razor helpers. So let's create this folder. And now in this folder, I'm going to add a view, and the name of the view is going to matter, because this is kind of the name of the class that I'm going to use throughout the application in order to call the helpers. So I'm going to call it my Razor helpers. That's a good name. And okay. And now I don't need anything here. I don't need all the HTML. So I'm just gonna delete that. And I'm gonna have only helpers in this this file. So let's just take the helper method from the index page and put it here. Okay. And in order to just see that it's coming from here, let's say let's add something familiar that says yo, right? Yes, we don't have MVC rules. That's much better line, right? So now we have that, and if I want to use that from my views, I cannot call write MVC rules just from here, because it doesn't appear inside the index.cshtml file. So in order to use that, I'm just gonna write first the name of the file that all the helpers are stored at. So it's gonna be my Razor helpers dot write MVC rules. Okay, so this is the only difference. And now, if I save that, I can go ahead and reload my application, and now it will work. You will see that in just a second. And what I did there, I just created helpers that I can use all over my application, and I did that with Razor and not with C#. And C# is a great language, but it's not a great language to create HTML. And if we can create HTML helpers using Razor, I say, why not? So this is how you do that. Just remember to put it inside the app code folder, because otherwise it wouldn't work. Okay, let's continue to the next TTHG. And this is using Razor outside ASP.NET MVC. In order to do that, you can use Razor Engine, the Razor Engine package, NuGet package. And this actually makes a lot of sense. We like Razor because it's a great templating engine. Okay? It works very well on ASP.NET MVC, but think about using Razor on other applications that you need to create some documents using templates. This would just work, and you can use all the Razor syntax because it's just the Razor engine that's there. So you can use all the ifs and the conditions, the loops, everything is just right there. So I'm going to show you just a quick thing, and let's just try to do that again. Okay. Okay, I'm going back here, and I'm just going to show you a quick demo. And this is just a WinForm application. I know WinForms are the root of all evil, but it's just a simple application, so I didn't really put a lot of effort in that. So forgive me, please. Now, on the left side here, I'm gonna write my Razor template. Gonna click load in order to load that, and then generate in order to generate the output. Okay, and it's just WinForm. It doesn't depend on anything that is related to MVC. Okay. Now, let's do that. Let's do hello ASP.conf attendees. How you write attendees? This how? Yeah. Okay. The time now here is, and let's just do daytime dot now. Okay, and this is. This would be replaced with datetime.now because this is just Razor. So let's do load and click generate. And you see, hello ASP.conf attendees. The time here now, and this is the time. Okay, so you see how easy it makes a lot of sense when you need something like that in some in your one of your applications. Now you can take this even farther. And let's do something like that. Functions. Functions is another thing that Razor has. It allows you to kind of add stuff to the class that runs underneath your view. Because every template is actually generating a class during runtime. So this is kind of a way to add stuff to that. So let's add prop, yeah, that would work. Public string name. Let's do get and set. Okay, and now the time now we're here it is, and let's say my name is name, right? Now let's load that, and you see now that I have this name here on the property grid. I'm just gonna fill it up with my name, and let's generate that. And you see that? Okay, now you have my name is Shay here. So you kind of created a template, and that just I'm hearing myself, which is not good. Let's do that again. Okay, so it's just a template. It's just Razor and. It's kind of very it especially with Razor Engine new package, it's very easy to use. Now I have a tab here says surprise, okay. Just a small thing that I created. So let's do name ASP.conf, and let's do yo, what's up, dog. Right? That's how you say it in the US, right? Let's generate that. And see what happens. I have Word opened. And you see that? Hello ASP.conf. Yo, what's up, dog? This is kind of a template. And my template, my Razor template is actually a Word document. And I just use Razor inside that. in order to create a new Word document with the dynamic content. Let me just show you the actual template. This is how it looks like. And you see, this is Word, and it actually has Razor inside. And I have this context property that has name and message. It doesn't go farther than that. And see, I probably would be able to add ifs and fors and whiles in this Word document. And of course, everything is up for your imagination. You can just do whatever you need to do, but you can see that you just take Razor outside MVC and work with it wherever you want, because you're just there, and it's a great, great, great tool. Okay, so this is Razor outside MVC, and let's continue. Number 7. A lot of you just use one view engine, right? Probably maybe you're using ASPX view engine, maybe you're using the Razor view engine, maybe you're using Spark, maybe you're using Haml, I don't know what, but you're probably using one view engine. Now, ASP.NET MVC by default loads the ASPX and Razor view engines together. And if you're doing Razor, you don't need the ASPX view engine. And this kind of affects how fast MVC finds your views. So you don't really need that. It's not going to change in like a few seconds the performance, but it's going to work. It's going to reduce something. And if you don't need it something, then just remove that, right? So this is kind of easy to do. Let's go back to the Visual Studio. And in order to do that, just go to the global assets file. Okay. And just add two lines. Okay. The first one would be viewengines.engines.clear. That will just remove all the view engines. Don't stop there. Nothing would work. Okay. Good. Now, next thing I'm going to do is viewengines.engines.add, because we want a view engine. And we're just going to add the Razor view engine. Okay. And that's it. I'm going to compile that, and that's it. Okay, so this would just save some time for the MVC framework, because it will just reduce the time it takes to find your views. So a small tweak that would just help you reducing the time of your application. Probably you wouldn't notice a lot of change, but it's just a good thing to have. I just reload the application so you can see that everything still works and I didn't screw up everything. So it should just work. Yeah, okay. So everything still works, right? Okay. Now let's continue to another quick DTHG. And this one is about namespaces. Me personally, it drives me crazy to have the namespaces on the views. It's very irritating, even if you don't do that too much. What I mean is, for example, if we go here to index, okay? Or let's go to details, because it's even farther. You can see that the model here at the top has the entire namespace added to that. And I don't like that. I just want it to be like in regular classes, that I don't need the namespace. Now I can actually add a using just here and say using clean dot view models, and then just remove that. And it will work. But again, I don't like that because probably most of my views will need that, will need this namespace. So we can go to the webconfig file, which lies inside the views folder. Okay, you see, it's not the web config of the entire solution. It's the web config inside the views folder. You probably have seen that sometime, and you wondered what it's for. So it's kind of for these scenarios. So let's open web config here, and you see the namespaces right there. You just add your namespace. So let's just do add namespace, and what was the name there? Clean.viewmodels. You just add your namespace, and it's just adding that to your views, to all of your views. And now I can just go back to the view and remove this using here. And this will still work. Okay? If we go back here and go to details, we'll let that roll for a second. Just remember, it's not the view model, the web config of the entire application. It's the web config inside the views folder. Okay, right inside the views folder, it's right there. Just add your namespace there, and you're kind of done. Okay. Let's go back here. So you see the details still work. Details page is still showing, even though it doesn't have the namespace on the view on the model of the view, because the namespace is just inside the web config. Okay. Moving forward, number 9. And this is another thing that a lot of customers of mine are asking for. And this is not a silver bullet, okay? It's about pre-compiling your views. And I always say that this is ASP.NET MVC, and you write C Sharp or VB.NET, right? And if you do that, then you're in a strong type environment. So this is why I really dislike dynamic views that do not have model. Okay, I really think that all views should have a model, and a model of a specific type, because once you go static all the way. Once you go dynamic, like other languages like Ruby or Python, then go dynamic all the way. But do not do like this weird combination, because then you never know what's dynamic and what's not, and how you do that or here and how you do that there. So I say just go and use static views all over your application. And once you do that, you kind of have the feeling that the compiler is with you, because then you go, let's go back here, and I'm going to the create view. And once you go and use static views that have a specific model type, you can go ahead and use what's called HTML.editor4, or all the HTML helpers that end with 4. So you have textbox 4 and text area 4 and password 4. All of the fields have this 4 method that take lambda expression and the property itself. So you don't need to type the actual property name. However, if you just have that here, and let's say, I don't know what happened, you were sleepy, you were drunk, you were I don't know what, and you just did something like, and now the name is not right anymore, right? And let's compile that. And the compilation succeeded because the views are not compiled. And you will find this problem only once you run this page. And this is not very good, because you kind of think, you have this false feeling that the compiler would save you from that, from this particular mistake. So in order to actually have the compiler behind you, you can do that, but it's not that trivial. So let's just do that. So in order to do that, you go to your project on the Solution Explorer and you unload it. Okay, so you right click on the project name and you go and click unload project. Okay, and it now it's unloaded. Once it's unloaded, you go and you click it again, right click, and instead of reload project, you click edit and the project name. And now you see this XML file, and if you haven't seen that before, it's good for you. If you have, I feel you, brothers and sisters. It's not the best thing in the world. Anyway, we're just gonna just sneak in, change something, and go back, so don't be afraid just yet. So you see here in this view, in this XML file, you have this thing here, MVC build views. Okay, and let's change that to true. Okay, I change that to true, I close the project file and I reload that. Reload again, right click on the project file and reload project. Project is reloaded, and now let's build it again. Now, one thing to know before you rush and do that, just go ahead, you just go and change this from false to true. The build takes much longer, much longer, okay, for me at least. But now you can see that I get the error. Okay, it says that the model doc does not contain a definition for name whatever that I wrote there, because now the compiler actually is behind me, and if I double click that, I actually go and see the error. Okay, so this is a very cool thing to do, but maybe at the end of the development process, or once a day or something like that, because otherwise you will just lose a lot of time from just waiting for the build, and it takes, for me it takes about, I assume it takes about 50% more time to build my application, maybe more. So I'm just gonna take it back now, but just return this to false, but just know it's there, because you see that it can save you from typos inside your views. So let's do that again. I'm just gonna unload the project, edit the project file, and on MVC build views I'm gonna put false back again, close the project, and reload the application. And that's it. Everything is back to normal. I can build it, and now I can make mistakes and no one will tell me. Okay. Cool. Okay, so we have about 5 minutes left. So I do have five more tips which we will not have time to go through. So I will just show you one more tip, which I think very important, and then we'll have some time for questions. And again, if you have more questions, we can do that on the Jabber chat room. Okay. So this is actually the last one, so I saved the best for last. And I don't know if you've heard, but ASP.NET MVC is now fully open source. Okay, you can go ahead to CodePlex and download the full source of ASP.NET MVC. You can actually even change stuff and fix bugs and add features, and then try to contribute back and put them back in the product, and they might make their way there. So it's a very cool step for Microsoft to making this open source. I think even though probably most of us would know, would never actually add something to MVC, it's very important to just go through the code base, because first of all you can see what how it looks like and how the ASP.NET MVC team are doing stuff. For example, when I needed to create a custom HTML helper in C Sharp, not in Razor, I opened the code base and just looked at all the HTML helpers they have written and just took the idea from there to my helpers, because then I know it's kind of in the same quality as the HTML helpers that come built in with ASP.NET MVC. So it's very easy to do. I'll show you the resources in just a second, but once you download everything, this is how it looks like. Yes, this is Visual Studio 20 then, back again. And it's actually, you can just take that and you see the latest build, the latest code they have on their machines, what they're working on right now, and you can just go through the code and open that and understand how everything is working, and try, you can even debug that because you just have that, so you can do just whatever you want. And I think it's very important once you use a framework, as I started with that, to really learn it. And what a better way to learn a product than just look at the code, right? So this is just a, I don't know if it's a tip, but it's just something that I think is very important, and it might help you in several different occasions. So some resources. ASP.NET/MVC, of course you probably know that already. This is where everything is. ASP.NET codeplex.com, also a lot of stuff there. ASP.NET webstack codeplex.com. This is where you download, you can download the code of ASP.NET MVC. So just log into that, and you can use Git or download that via the web, and just have this on your computer. And when you are in trouble, just have that, and you'll be okay. And of course, NuGet.org. We started with NuGet.org, and I want to say again: if you're not using NuGet, start using it. If you're using it already, use it. Continue using it. And use it more, and use it again, and use it again. So we're kind of done with the time. So I'm gonna be at the Jabber chat room in order to take questions and just answer them. Again, I'm approachable via Twitter, Aaron Shea. This is my Twitter handle. I really like ASP.NET MVC. I think it's a great platform. ASP.NET MVC 4 is a great step ahead, but ASP.NET MVC 3 is as well very, very good, and it just makes so much more sense now writing applications for the web using MVC. So I hope you had a good time, I hope you learned something, and just enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you all for attending.